stories carry with them great power.
They can transport us into the light and into the dark.
And into a place in between, a land of shadows.
It is in this land where the macabre and the strange reign.
With tales of terror,
tales of hope,
tales of the whimsical,
and the weird.
These are stories told in the shadows.
And we are the Shadow Storytellers.
Relationships are hard. Maintaining them is even harder, and there's certainly no shame in asking for a little professional help. But of course, no two professionals are exactly alike. Some will prefer out-of-date methods they call tried and true, while others might try more unorthodox methods that gain unexpected results. Tucked away in the most comfortable and supportive hideaway imaginable, three couples and their guide will hit a horrifying road bump on their shared romantic journey. Pull up a warm seat and hold the one you love most close as you listen to today's episode, Couples Retreat.
The reception office had a view of the valley. Of course it did, Marlene reminded herself. They basically had the whole mountain to themselves for the long weekend. It would be hard to find an angle without a picturesque view of the miles of pine forest sloping down in every direction. Even so, she needed a moment just to breathe it in, process the idea that this would be the first thing her clients would see when they entered the lodge. The way up had been a little more rugged than she'd anticipated. If her clients were anything like her, they were spending the morning cooped up in their cars, freezing in front of the air conditioning to keep their windows from fogging up, watching the road in silent panic for the final hour after the cell signal had cut out, hoping it wouldn't fork ambiguously. But after all that, they would get to walk into this deliciously climate-controlled lobby, more of a lounge, really, and reward themselves with a look down at where they'd come from. No one could look at that view without feeling simultaneously proud and lucky to be there. It was the perfect note to start on. Marlene toyed with composing a welcome speech, likening the trials and satisfactions of the drive up the mountain to those of a relationship. But what she'd put together melted out of her head at the first knock on the lodge's heavy oak doors. "I knew it would be you," Marlene squealed, opening the door and greeting her longest-standing client, Eloise, with a hug, and Eloise's girlfriend of four exciting months, Carly, with a handshake that soon metamorphosed into a hug as well. "Come on, get inside, get comfortable." "Oh, wow," said Eloise, crossing the threshold. "This venue is next level." "Even compared with the dolphin swimming trip?" Carly asked. "I've given her a play-by-play of every retreat you've ever thrown," Eloise explained. "She has," Carly confirmed. "I swear, sometimes I think she only asked me out so she could still qualify for the couples stuff." "Please," said Eloise. "You know you only said yes to score a seat here after how much I talked it up." Carly helped Eloise remove her scarf in the warmth, kissing her neck as soon as it became available. "I have a sneaking suspicion you're actually in love," said Marlene. "But if you're not now, just wait till the weekend's over." "So," Eloise asked, giving the lobby a more targeted looking over, "is it on yet?" Marlene stepped behind the desk and leaned forward on her tiptoes to open one of the cabinets mounted on the wall behind it. Neatly tucked inside was the harmonizer, the invention to which Marlene owed this dream retirement gig. Made up of two concentric rings, a red one outside a green one, mounted together on an unobtrusive frame, it could have been mistaken for a child's waiting room toy. Marlene flipped the switch on the frame, and the rings began to glow and spin. Immediately, the three women present felt the one-of-a-kind device's effects wash over them. Affection and consideration for one another took center stage, making hurtful, thoughtless words unthinkable. The room around them seemed to come into sharper focus, the world and all its possibilities shrinking to fit them as snugly as a favorite sweater. It was almost impossible to reach far enough beyond its bounds to concoct a falsehood of any kind. More comforting even than the peaceful mood the device gave off was the security of knowing that everyone else within its range shared that mood. "Now it's on," Marlene said. "This weekend and everything in it, will take place at the intersection of kindness and truth.
Whoa. Carly acknowledged the unfamiliar feeling with wide-eyed enthusiasm.
Eloise sighed contentedly and snuggled against Carly's shoulder, as if she might fall asleep there, standing up. The next arrivals sounded like they'd had a rougher time with the drive. Their voices carried into the lobby for several seconds before they actually reached the door.
I told you it was the main road.
It could just as easily have been the other one.
This is exactly what I've been talking about. You never think any evidence is good enough reason for you to admit you were wrong.
Fine, I was wrong.
That doesn't count because now you're just trying to be right about being able to say you were wrong. I don't know what you...
Can we not? We're here. Let's just try to get our money's worth, okay?
By all means.
A man yanked the door open with more force than he probably intended and stood back for a woman to enter first. The moment she did, her posture melted from raised hackles to easy, open calm. Her partner stepped in afterward, moving fluidly from wrestling the door to wrapping his arms warmly, reverently, around her shoulders from behind.
Welcome, Marlene said, exchanging a knowing smile with Eloise. Make yourselves comfortable. Help yourselves. Feel free to pick a room down the hall to drop your things. We're just waiting for one more pair.
Marlene tried not to hover too noticeably as her guests made use of her carefully laid out bar of coffees, teas, and hot chocolate packets. The near undetectable vibrations of the harmonizer made it blissfully impossible to be too anxious about standing too close or looking too interested in her guest's dreamy small talk. At 15 past the hour, she was about to call for a soft commencement of their weekend plans when the final couple burst in, crossing the threshold exactly side by side.
Oh my God, this is it!
One of them whispered in awed excitement, removing her knitted cap and shaking out her bobbed hair.
It's no mirage, her partner agreed, picking her up by the waist and spinning her around disconcertingly close to the beverage bar.
Marlene forgot her concern for the refreshments when she got a good look at his face, and, more importantly, Eloise's face as she registered his presence.
Welcome,
Marlene piped up before any awkward reintroductions could occur.
So glad you could make it. I'm Marlene.
The woman with the bobbed hair shook her hand and stared into her face a little deeper and longer than the norm.
You're so pretty, she observed. It's as if time weighs nothing on your shoulders.
Well, aren't you sweet, said Marlene. We were just about to get started, so set your stuff in one of the rooms, kick off your shoes, and join us in the solarium.
As she'd hoped, Eloise was still stunned enough that she was the last to move, and Marlene was able to take her aside.
Are you okay? She asked.
He's here, Eloise said, with blank disappointment, the closest she could get to outrage.
I know, said Marlene, and I know this would normally be an uncomfortable situation, but with the harmonizer, who knows, right?
Ryan wouldn't know about you if it weren't for me, Eloise spoke careful truth.
Ryan!
Marlene gave quiet thanks for his name being mentioned before she had to ask for it. She did her best to remember every client, but it had gotten harder with every year past 70, of which there had been several, and he had been so quiet when he'd come in with Eloise. He certainly hadn't tried to lift her off the ground as if they had the spines of teenagers instead of 40-somethings.
And now he's here with someone else, Eloise went on. He could have known I would be here too. He probably wants to show me how over me he is on my own vacation.
We can't know Ryan's intentions, Marlene reminded her. But we have some say in what comes next. You and Ryan will both see each other happy with new partners, in a context where all you can do is be happy for each other.
How rare, how precious is that?
Think of it like training wheels. That's all it is for closer relationships, really.
Eloise nodded hard, looking at least 70% convinced and aiming for 90, before rejoining the group. Comfortably situated in a ring of love seats, in a room with two walls almost completely taken up with windows, Marlene soaked in the equally awe-inspiring sights of the snow-frosted trees and her clients, so present and open and ready to make the bonds between them even more vibrant.
I'd like to start us off easy with a chance to get to know each other, for those of us who don't already. Find out what we have in common, what makes us unique. So let's go around the circle, introduce yourselves, and share how you met your partner. Eloise and Carly, online friends before taking the plunge and meeting in real life. Sarah and Mark, took a cooking class together. Ryan and Jen, introduced by their lawyer. "Wonderful," said Marlene, searing these details into her mind. Those were the easy questions. A polite yet warm titter of laughter ran through the circle, growing into curious oohs and ahs as Marlene passed out some colorful keepsake notebooks and pens. Even once everyone had one, her pockets remained full of spares just in case. "Now, I'm going to ask the men to write their answers down silently, and the ladies are going to guess. Then we'll switch it up. Eloise and Carly, you can choose which of you goes first." Eloise and Carly grappled playfully over one of the notebooks for a few moments longer than they might have while unobserved. Eloise ended up with it. "What," Marlene drew out the question, "is your favorite dessert?" Eloise, Mark, and Ryan began writing immediately. "Raspberry cobbler," Carly guessed, and had to be lovingly corrected to boysenberry cobbler, given the difficult choice between the two. "Animal parade cookies," Sarah got Mark's right in one. On Jen's turn, she smiled confidently and said, "Just." Ryan held up his page, confirming that Marlene had not misheard. "Oh," Marlene got it after a moment. "Just desserts. That was a gamble going for a pun there, but you were right in sync for it." "We think a lot alike," said Jen, lacing her fingers through Ryan's and pulling him in for a kiss. Marlene patted the back of Eloise's chair in sympathy and hurried things along. "Time to switch. And the questions only get harder from here," she teased the group. "Where were you when you felt the most bored you've ever been?" Carly, Sarah, and Jen slowly began writing. They did indeed seem to find this one harder before it even came time to guess. "Your introduction to college class?" Eloise took a stab at it. "The one with that teacher you told me about who really wanted it to be a philosophy class but didn't actually know anything about philosophy?" "Professor Darren," Carly remembered aloud. "Ah, that would have been a good answer. I just went with the dentist's office." "Helping my mom move?" Mark guessed. Sarah nudged him. "I told you I was glad to do it. No, it was that job interview where the guy basically kidnapped me for 10 hours while he drove around listening to broadcast talk shows and trying to sell sports coupons." "I thought you were scared he was going to traffic you or something," said Mark. "Of course I was, but that didn't stop me from being bored," said Sarah. "Our turn?" Ryan asked. "Go ahead," said Marlene. "Inside her head," Ryan guessed, as if he were about to lose to a buzzer, "explaining simple concepts to people who can't hear her." "That's it!" Jen shouted triumphantly, even before Ryan had quite finished, throwing her arms around him. She held the notebook page up behind him, so the others could see the sketch she'd made of a cross-section of her head, with an arrow pointing inward. Marlene cleared her throat. "Switch again." Jen and Ryan disentangled themselves enough to do so. "This one's going to require a lot of trust," Marlene warned, and all the clients nodded with understanding. "What is your deepest fear?" The scribbling began again. "Loneliness," Carly guessed as soon as Eloise had put the notebook down. She picked it up again to show off the matching word on the paper. "Thank you for sharing that," Marlene told Eloise as Carly hugged her. "Spiders," Sarah exclaimed next. Mark hid most of his face behind the notebook as he showed off the confirmation. He had included a doodle of a spider with devil horns. "No shame in that," Marlene assured him. "Our ancestral instincts for avoiding poison run deep." A little warily, she turned her attention to Jen, who was on the edge of her love seat. "Ooh, Ryan is afraid that our personalities are nothing but complex systems of coping mechanisms for the trauma of existing as part of human society, and therefore, wherever we're going next, if it's anywhere, we'll either be coping with continued trauma, or we'll cease to exist in a form meaningfully identifiable as ourselves." With a fist pump, Ryan held up his little notebook, showing a full page of solid text.
At a glance, Marlene could be pretty sure that it matched Jen's guess to within a few words. The wind howling past the glass filled the gap in the conversation.
"I mean, solid choice," said Carly.
Agreeing laughter rose to cover the wind, and even Eloise joined in a little. Ryan and Jen did not. Jen pouted out her lip a little. Ryan looked at her as if awed by her restraint, then put an arm protectively around her and looked around the room. "Something funny about us winning?" he asked.
"Hey, there's no winning," Marlene stepped in. "This is all about checking in on our perception of our partners and hopefully learning some new things about them. Wrong answers are opportunities."
"Oh, so now we're just blatantly moving the goalposts," Ryan said, stroking Jen's hair.
"There are no goalposts either," said Marlene.
"You know what? Let's take a break. Tour some of the amenities."
"Can we see it?" Jen asked abruptly.
Marlene generally liked to divert attention away from the harmonizer itself, so that her clients could focus on each other within its benign influence. She knew an old regular like Eloise wouldn't let a glance at the device throw her, but there had been some who'd been so mesmerized by it that they lost interest in the activities, and some who had fallen into overthinking everything they said and did in its presence, until they panicked and ran outside searching for their real selves. Jen's interest made a convenient distraction from the tension in the room, however. And for that matter, that same tension made Marlene want to check that the harmonizer was still running properly.
"Sure," she said.
"So, how exactly does this thing work?" Mark asked, after the group had spent nearly a full minute silently watching the harmonizer glow and spin.
"Well, it's fairly technical," said Marlene. "But it uses a combination of superharmonic vibrations and long-wave electromagnetic pulses to stimulate neurological impulses and neurotransmitter production, similar to what we can observe during loving romantic interactions." Mark held his chin between two fingers and nodded it up and down as she spoke, in a way that didn't seem particularly connected to the information.
"You know, I get why people would enjoy this," Jen admitted, spreading her arms wide in front of the harmonizer, as if catching a breeze or the warmth of a campfire. "It's kind of addictive. Maybe even useful."
She sighed and looked to Marlene, the inward swoop of her bob framing her round, sad eyes.
"I just don't understand why you had to be the one to invent it."
Marlene blinked, trying to follow Jen's train of thought.
"Why shouldn't I be?"
Ryan put his hand on Marlene's shoulder, the way her own son sometimes did when he was worried she might be more than a normal level of confused.
"Are you sure you can't think of any reason this would be in bad taste coming from you?"
"No, I..." Marlene recognized the impulse to argue and let it go. It wasn't her place to judge or justify herself to her clients. She could only observe and make suggestions. And in this case, perhaps take a few notes about the possible unexpected effects of the harmonizer. It was in the experimental phase, after all.
"Next, we're going to try some loving actions," Marlene explained the day's next phase back in the solarium. "Verbal communication and affection are wonderful, important tools for maintaining a healthy relationship, but they're not everything. Keeping your actions in sync with your words is vital for building trust, so we're going to practice breaking through that barrier between talking and doing in a few small ways."
"Ooh, I've been looking forward to this," Jen cooed.
Eloise and Carly were quietly holding hands, their thoughts unreadable, and Sarah and Mark were looking apprehensively around the minimalist room, searching for inspiration in the plain white walls.
"Now, I know it may not be easy to think of something nice you can do for your partner right here, right now," Marlene acknowledged.
"This is where I remind you."
"I've got one," said Ryan, leaping to his feet and rocking back and forth with excitement.
Marlene couldn't discourage that.
"Well, in that case," she ceded the floor.
"Are you ready, baby?" Ryan asked, kneeling in front of Jen and tenderly squeezing one of her knees. Jen was shifting around in her seat with excess energy, her eyes wide so as not to miss a single detail.
"I am so ready."
With a look of absolute adoration on his face, Ryan reached into his pocket, There was a moment in which everyone in the room leaned forward a few inches, drawn by either vicarious excitement or morbid curiosity, wondering if they were about to catch a first glimpse of a ring-sized jewelry box, or some much stranger family heirloom with a long story to explain it. There was a silvery glimmer of metal. Ryan twisted his torso away from Jen and brought a revolver level with Marlene's face. "Apologize to my girlfriend," he ordered, still rubbing Jen's knee with his free hand. Jen applauded and squeaked with delight before drawing her own pistol from inside her coat and aiming it over Ryan's shoulder. "And to my boyfriend," she added, patting his shoulder and staring down the sights at Marlene with a viciously protective grin. The other clients had retreated back into the shelterless depths of their love seats and were gripping each other's hands with white knuckles as they watched.
"Wait, slow down,"
Marlene raised her hands in front of her.
"If we have something to talk out, all you have to do is say so."
The words came out far more panicked than Marlene had always hoped they would. In 40 years of talking people through the most emotionally fraught areas of their lives, she had never found herself in quite this position before. The closest was the time a patient's ex-husband had shot out a few of the windows of her old practice, but there hadn't been much to do about that but hit the floor and wait for building security to do its job. The whole incident had been over before she was expected to say anything, and in any case, it hadn't really had much to do with her. The patient had been too preoccupied to notice Marlene freezing solid and starting to cry under her desk, and there had been no harm done. Even so, once things had gotten back to normal, Marlene had thought her way through the event, and all the much worse altercations she could imagine, planning out how she would control her responses to defuse the situation with authoritative, empathetic professionalism. Surely she had the age and experience on her side to do that now, not to mention the harmonizer boosting her compassion. So why couldn't she control the modulation of her voice? Why couldn't she concentrate on catching the clues that would lead them all out of this safely?
What did Ryan and Jen just say?
The sight of the gun barrels was so much louder than the echo of the words. Something about an apology?
Could you please tell me what I did to offend you?
Marlene asked, barely wrestling her seizing diaphragm through the motions.
Is this still about the fear question? I want to understand, but I'm not a mind reader. It's hard for me to guess what your experience of events might be. I mean, it's hard enough for long-time couples, and I only just met you today.
That's okay, I'll give you a hint, said Jen, a genuine impulse of helpfulness showing in her harmonized voice.
It didn't happen today.
Marlene's throat ran dry as she searched both Ryan and Jen's faces for any familiarity.
I don't know who you are.
Why don't you start with the worst thing you've ever done? Ryan suggested. And guess backwards from there. The other client's faces snapped from Ryan and Jen to Marlene, anticipating her answer. Marlene felt her mental heels dig in. She wouldn't indulge this line of inquiry. But the buzz of the harmonizer disrupted every attempt she made to form a white lie or reflect the couple's implicit accusation back on them. Ryan scoffed into her paralyzed silence.
Is the list that long?
He seemed to be exerting colossal concentration just to maintain the unhelpful abrasiveness in his voice for the span of 5 words. He barely made it to the end and broke off with a wince.
Probably is that long, babe.
Jen stroked his hair, almost as if she was trying to lengthen his patience.
It was probably like an assembly line to her back in the day. She's going to need a moment.
These retreats have nothing to do with my past or even my present, Marlene recited with a jittery smile. I'm just here to help all of you create a future where—
Stop it, Jen told her, all concern with hardly any harshness, though her gun hand did not waver.
You're hurting him. Ryan looked appreciatively at Jen, seeming to recharge some of his resistance to the harmonizer mood, before taking a different approach with Marlene.
Are you sure? There's nothing that chews you up inside every day, he asked her softly. Nothing that happened because you were so young and didn't know any better and were just doing what you were told. Nothing that's so far removed from the person you try to be today that you couldn't bear for anyone to think that's the whole story of who you are.
He and Jen took a step closer to Marlene in near-perfect unison.
Because it's going to sound a lot more convincing now,
Jen added. Then it will after a few more rounds of, I don't know what you're talking about.
I... Marlene started. Before she could think to restrain herself, her eyes flicked toward a sudden movement behind Ryan and Jen, to the left. Mark had gotten up from his and Sarah's love seat and was treading quickly and carefully across the thick white carpet. He moved remarkably quietly, but Marlene's gaze rendered his stealth moot. Without moving his head, Ryan took aim with his whole arm and fired. Mark dropped face first to the floor, tried once, twice, three times to get up, and then stopped. His only movement, the slow expansion of the red stain spreading from his chest. With an incoherent shriek of rage, Sarah dropped to her knees next to him, glaring up at Ryan. Her fingers twisted through the carpet, at the edges of white and red, as if searching for some tool to allow her to respond.
You, Jen pointed her gun at Carly. Unless everyone cooperates, you die next.
Eloise positioned herself in front of Carly, watching Ryan with a purity of hate that shouldn't have been possible in this room, but the threat had its intended effect. No one moved.
You feeling safe, baby? Ryan asked Jen.
Yeah, good shot. You're doing great, Jen answered.
You too, said Ryan.
Marlene was beginning to understand the loophole in the harmonizer's effect. With all the concentration she could summon through her chemical calm, she focused on her affection and duty toward the other clients, in the hope that it would show her how to protect them. Decades of shame rose up to meet the challenge, but again she stopped them short of leaving her mouth.
I am cooperating, she said instead.
Are you, though? Jen asked sweetly.
Just tell me what you want, Marlene insisted.
All right, we'll start easy, Ryan sighed. Say something nice about me.
What? Marlene breathed.
Are you out of your mind?
Ooh, that was not nice, Jen reprimanded her.
Or worthy of a mental health care professional, by the way. Even a retired one.
Carly, sweetie, you might want to ask her not to mess up that way again.
Okay, Marlene said before Carly had to say anything. I'll do it. She silently begged the harmonizer for the strength to see through the outrage and find something.
Your hair looks really... You know, it's difficult while you're pointing that thing at me.
Oh, is it? Jen shrieked with an intensity that could only have been on Ryan's behalf.
Is it really?
Something nice about her, then. Ryan nodded at Jen. That should be doable, right? She hasn't even killed anyone. And here, maximum incentive. He disentwined himself from Jen, jerked Carly out of her seat by the wrist, and touched the barrel of his revolver directly to her shuddering temple.
Come on, doctor. Say something.
You don't have to call me doctor, Marlene corrected him miserably.
Marlene, Ryan acquiesced, without taking his eyes off her.
Don't you think my girlfriend is the most beautiful, brave, magnificent creature ever to grace the earth?
Stop this bullshit, said Eloise, her attempted shout tempered to a gently elevated voice, much like Ryan's.
Leave her alone. Those words came out clearer, stronger. If you're that pissed about me moving on, at least have the decency to take it out on me.
I'm sorry you had to be here, Ryan told her, disarmingly straightforward.
I don't know whether this will make you feel better or worse, but it's the truth. This has nothing to do with you.
You expect me to believe that I used you, Ryan finished.
That I was only ever interested in what you knew about her. He nodded at Marlene. I know, it's shitty. For what it's worth, I was glad to hear you picked yourself up so fast. I'm actually rooting for you two. He patted Carly's shoulder with the same arm he had looped around her neck. But Jen has to come first for me. You can see why she means so much to me, right? He turned back to Marlene. I'm still waiting for you to weigh in.
Yes, fine, Marlene stammered. She's very beautiful and, from what little they've seen of her, she's certainly not afraid to go after what's important to her. Yes! Jen cheered, as if Marlene were her best friend and had just given the right answer in a quiz show for a life-changing sum of money. Good warm-up. Now it's his turn. Marlene took a bracing breath and looked to Ryan. You're... No, not like that, Jen interrupted. Don't say it to him, say it about him. Look at Carly. Look her in the eye and tell her what a good man Ryan is. Marlene began soundlessly mouthing the words but couldn't finish even that way. Carly was looking at her as if she wished she'd never heard her name. She seemed a completely different person from the bright, hopeful new client who had come in out of the snow. Tell her that pointing a loaded gun at her head is a totally understandable thing to do, Jen encouraged. That it doesn't make him a bad person, and she needs to be patient with him. Marlene tried again. She shook her head and bowed it to her chest. Is that really the best you can do? Jen asked. Don't you care about saving the people who put their trust in you? You know that's not the problem. Marlene snapped her head upward again. So to be clear, said Ryan, releasing Carly into Eloise's waiting arms. When you told our mothers that if they really loved us, they'd always find a way to live at the corner of kindness and truth, you were, in fact, full of shit. They didn't even have a machine to help them get there, Jen added mournfully. Marlene felt her shoulders drop with a strange relief, as the habit of presenting her best self seemed to lose its purpose. It was the 70s, she said, hearing the pitifulness in her voice. Non-disparagement clauses were a standard part of divorce settlements. Still are, Jen noted. It was more difficult to exclude abusers from custody back then, said Marlene. And that, said Ryan, is how a judge came to order her mother, he squeezed Jen's shoulders, and his mother, Jen squeezed in return, to attend professional counseling to learn how to speak positively to her children about the man who kept threatening to kill her and them, Ryan finished. Yes, Marlene said, and took a moment to marvel at her continued existence in the aftermath of this acknowledgement. That happened. It happened over and over, and I didn't choose it. I didn't make those rulings. I was just there, giving women the best tools I could to help them survive a horrible situation. Ryan and Jen swapped a dubious glance, ducking their chins and wobbling their hands in the air to confirm their mutual dissatisfaction. I did warn you it would be less convincing now, said Jen. I hated my job, Marlene exclaimed. Those cases were why I couldn't wait to leave and do something less structured with people who actually love each other. How many cases were there? Jen asked. I don't remember, Marlene answered honestly. A lot. 47, Ryan told her. That we've been able to identify since we found each other. You pretty much had a local market cornered with that particular kind of counseling. Someone had to see them, said Marlene. Without me, those victims and their children would have lost each other altogether. With a crash, the harmonizer collided with the solarium's largest, most picturesque window, breaking a large, jagged hole through it. The whole group took a confused moment to follow its trajectory back to Sarah, standing in the doorway, tear-streaked and vibrating with resolve. No one had noticed her slipping away to grab the harmonizer. Without waiting for the shocked silence to end, Sarah jumped through the hole she'd made and ran into the pine woods, tripping and sliding down a steep stretch of the snowy mountain face and out of sight. Then the absence of the harmonizer's sleepy, comforting waves set in, and no one had much attention to spare for going after her, with either a gun or a warning about the freezing temperature and the distance to the nearest town. Ryan pounced like a feral animal. We did lose each other, he shouted, kicking Marlene's chair onto its back with her in it and placing his fuzzy socked foot in the center of her chest. I grew up scared shitless of my dad and believing that my mom saw nothing to argue with in anything he did.
guess which hurt more. Do you think that's the kind of misunderstanding a mother and child can just laugh off?
I don't know, is it? Jen joined in. My mom didn't survive long enough to try.
I hated mine so much for so long that she won't even talk to me now, shouted Ryan.
Will you shut up?
Carly crossed her arms, as if to convince herself that the two guns that immediately pointed toward her chest didn't bother her.
I'm sure your childhoods were thoroughly tragic. I believe you, and I would have given a shit, I really would, right up until you shot that guy. He didn't do anything. He didn't even know why you were mad. You think you're the only one with trauma? I could tell you stories.
Eloise found her hand and laced her fingers comfortingly through it.
I'm not okay, Carly laughed. But somehow, I managed not to use it as an excuse for why I just couldn't help being a murderous asshole to whoever crosses my path.
Who says I can't help it?
Ryan barked at her.
I decided this. Not this sick quack.
He increased the weight on Marlene's brittle ribcage.
Not my dad, or my mom, or my whacked-out neuro-fucking-transmitters. Me.
Wow, you actually figured that out,
Carly summed up, mildly surprised. She narrowed her eyes on Ryan.
And you still decided to pick up the gun.
We, Jen corrected indignantly, we decided, together... Oh, sure, you're totally the dominant personality in this whole crime duo thing. Eloise rolled her eyes and waved her hand in a circle to indicate the entirety of Ryan and Jen.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
Jen squeaked, shaking the gun in her hands as if that would make its intimidation function work better.
Excuse me, but I was the one who figured out how to get around the harmonizer.
I didn't say you weren't the brains, said Eloise. Why do people always assume those have to be the same person?
I spent 18 years as the innocent hostage, Ryan was still yelling at Carly. As the insulation around my dad. The impenetrable barrier between my mom and freedom. You can't take a swing at someone who deserves it without going through their victims because the ones who deserve it make sure of that. I won't let that make them invincible.
Conserving the oxygen in her chest, Marlene eyed the remains of the harmonizer. It was on the floor just inside the broken window. It didn't look too badly damaged. Only the outer ring had bent, and she could probably push it back into place by hand, at least well enough for it to spin for a few minutes. She searched for some way to reach it. With its waves paused, there were more options, and it was easier to think them through quickly. Even so, it took her several seconds to stretch beyond the bounds of normal client-guide interaction and reach the extra pen in her pocket. When she stabbed the ballpoint into the top of Ryan's foot, she was well aware that he might reflexively squeeze the trigger and hit Carly, or aim straight down and kill Marlene herself, but there was a good chance that a more basic self-preservation instinct would kick in first. The risk panned out. Ryan yelped and pulled his bleeding foot protectively away from her, forgetting what the deadly object in his hand was for the split second Marlene needed to roll backwards out of her chair and crawl around the outside of the cozy little circle. Two shots hit the chairs and the wall before Marlene picked the harmonizer out of the shards of glass and yanked its outer ring into place. The calm, honest, loving waves returned, and there was no third shot. Ryan and Jen both put their free hands to their heads as they struggled to adjust, while holding on to what they had been thinking and doing a moment before. If they had looked at each other right then, Marlene thought they might have managed it. But Eloise and Carly were already focused on each other, holding hands as if trying to anchor each other against death itself, so they had the head start in converting love into fight. With a shared battle cry, they pounced on Ryan and Jen, pinning them to the bloody white rug and disarming them before they could remember why they wanted to be armed.
How dare you tell my love that her life is yours to dispose of, Eloise shouted.
Go ahead and run,
Carly added as Ryan and Jen pulled each other protectively toward the door.
Marlene has your credit card info. See how far you get.
They listened to Ryan and Jen's car pulling away, leaving silence and the draft of the broken window behind.
I'm so sorry, Marlene said.
I know. said Eloise, in a hollow, mechanical voice. There was no way you could have known this would happen. This didn't hold the silence off for long. I promise this will never happen again, said Marlene. I'll do some recalibrations. Next time, everything will be safe. Oh, yeah, said Eloise. I mean, we'll see how the scheduling shakes out and everything. Could you turn that thing off, please? With a sadness that would only grow in the harmonizer's absence, Marlene complied. She closed her eyes, waiting for her favorite client's unreserved commentary on her handling of the retreat and the career that had led to it. The room grew colder as two pairs of footsteps padded away along the carpet. The lodge door opened again. Eloise and Carly's engine started and wound its way down the mountain road, out of earshot, leaving Marlene with the smell of blood and the gusts of wind through broken glass.
Couples Retreat was written and performed by Fiona J.R. Tichenel. Narration was provided by Matt Carter. This episode was edited by Fiona J.R. Tichenel and Matt Carter. The Shadow Storyteller's theme, written and performed by Dennis Tichenel. The Shadow Storyteller's artwork by Kristen McQuiggan of Drop Dead Designs. Special thanks to Lisa Onzo and Greg Bowles for the use of their guest room in this recording. For more information on the Shadow Storyteller's podcast and our other fiction works, please visit our website at theshadowstorytellers.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please like and subscribe for more information on upcoming episodes. We hope you had fun, and we'll see you again soon.